And just for the guys that are here, what I share is something that, even though we direct it specifically to moms, pretty much what we're saying can be applied as well to the dads and granddads as well. So turn with me, if you have a Bible that you brought with you, to the book of Luke, chapter 1, as we're going to read verses 26 through 38. Or you can take that Burgundy book, our Pew Bible, and turn with us to page 940 as we read this lesson together. Begins as it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man named Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came to her and said, 'Rejoice, favored one. The Lord is with you.' But she was deeply troubled by the statement. And wondering what kind of greeting this could be, the angel told her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.' Now listen, you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end.' Mary asked the angel, 'How can this be, since I have not been intimate with a man?' And the angel replied to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. And consider your relative Elizabeth. Even she has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God.' I am the Lord's slave," said Mary. "May it be done to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. May God bless her hearts and understanding this wonderful reading from his word. Obviously, as we've been saying throughout the morning, today is a very special day. It's Mother's Day. We recognize it's a very special time to recognize and show love, expression, and have remembrance. Great memories for how moms and grandmoms, whether they be our birth parents, are people that have basically functioned that way in our lives. And we just take this day and recognize it. And every year people send me emails, or I notice through Facebook, now that we have that, some interesting articles. And I came across an article this week. The person who wrote it, it was entitled, the article, "What My Mother Taught Me." That she taught me a lot. For example, my mother taught me logic. And see if you can ride along with these. She taught me logic. Her logic taught me that if you fall off that swing and break your neck, you can't go to the store with me. My mother taught me medicine. She'd say, if you don't stop crossing your eyes, you're going to freeze that way. My mother taught me to meet a challenge. She asked, what are you thinking? Answer me when I talk to you, and don't talk back to me. My mother taught me anticipation when she said, just wait till your father gets home. She taught me humor when she'd say, when that lawnmower cuts off all your toes, don't you come running to me. She taught me about genetics. You're just like your father. She taught me how to become an adult when she said, if you don't eat your vegetables, you will never grow up. She taught me about justice. I think some of you are going to like this one. This may be my favorite. One day you'll have kids, and I hope they turn out just like you. Then you'll see what it's been like. I can't wait for that day to come, and I will laugh and laugh and laugh. Any parents to that point at this point in your life? Hey, it's a challenge. It's not easy. It's a challenge being a mom, grandma. When you look at how the world is today, I mean, from when I was a kid today, we have a lot of these wonderful advancements we didn't have when I was a kid. We didn't have a microwave back when I was a kid. We didn't have those refrigerators you could go to and you just hit the thing and out come the ice cubes. We didn't have those things. And we've had all these wonderful pieces of technology to make mom's life supposedly simpler and easier. And yet, I don't know, I look at moms. I'm married to a great mom and a wonderful grandma. I haven't seen her life get easier. It's gotten busier. Would you, moms, could you say, all these technology, life hasn't gotten any, it just seems they've gotten busier. Has a lot of challenges, a lot of obstacles, it seems. Mary is a person that we looked at and read about in the scripture. And we look at the Bible stories and go, oh, aren't they nice? But we need to look at the real side of what they experienced and what the example that we will learn from this morning, Mary experienced. Hers was a tough life. For Mary, she began starting out, well, let's face it, she was a woman who got pregnant outside of marriage, outside of wedlock. Now, that happens more and more today, and many by choice in the day that you live in. But in the day and the time of Jesus, and when Mary and Joseph and Jesus lived, it was out and out scandalous. And we read in the scripture that God comes and says she's going to have a child, and she says, well, not been with a man. She has the child nonetheless. Now, you go back to this very small town of Nazareth, and you try to live that thing out. You can't imagine the town gags and gossip's going on about, girl that had a child. It's marriage. Oh, boy. And it would carry through life because we know that 30 years later, we see that in the book of John, when Jesus is starting his ministry, and those who were going against Jesus didn't like Jesus, they pretty much be considered his enemies. They literally looked at Jesus and said to him, are we illegitimate children like you? 30 years later. And this is what she'd have to live with. The second thing that she'd have been challenged with is that she lived probably in what we might consider poverty. When Joseph and Mary take Jesus up for the very first time to the temple, they would offer 2 turtle doves as an offering sacrifice to God. That would have been the sacrifice for the very poorest, most impoverished people, what God would have them offer up. So surely she had challenges as you will have your own challenges that you face today, being a mom or grandmom and trying to fulfill that role that God has for you. But the thing that I want us to look at today is clearly God chose her because God endowed her with and called her to being a very, very special mom. This was God's son that she would raise. It's her son, but it was God's son. And we look at Jesus. Anybody would have to say that. I'd have to say as a mom, would you say that Mary did a pretty good job? Yeah. He was God, but he was also 100% human. He was a boy, a human boy. And she is obviously a woman who did some very wonderful things. And Mary's an example that mothers, it's been said, mothers mold the future. And she surely did that in Jesus. And what did she do that we could say that she was a special mom that you could take from today? Very, very quickly, very, very briefly, 3 things that I think are important for you to take away. I hope maybe you'll even make a note of that so you don't forget, because God's special mom, and what I'm looking at is from God's perspective. Whether the world looks at moms this way, whether this is the value that the world has, you didn't come here for that. You can get that anywhere you want. I believe if you come to this church, when you come to a church, you want to know what is God's perspective. Let me parse out what God's perspective is. And what he says in the scriptures is that God's special mom has a willingness to serve God. Now think about this story, how Mary demonstrates a willingness to serve God, how Mary had this strong commitment to doing God's will, that as we just mentioned, even though God says to her, Mary, you're going to have a child, and she says, I've never been intimate with a man. I'm a virgin. How can this be? And surely she had to be thinking, what are people going to think? And Joseph, when he's addressed and says that, you know, Mary has a child, and you're going to raise him as his father, his stepfather, and Joseph, Joseph been thinking about, yeah, I think I'm going to put this woman away quietly. I love her, but I'm not ready to deal with this. They know all this, and Mary knows all this. But she has determined in her life that irrespective of what the world may think, what the world may say, whatever reputation they want to give her, God has come and God has said to her, this is what I'm calling on you to do, to bear my son and to raise my son, and I will bless you. And the wonderful thing about Mary, after questioning God how the mechanics of that may be, says the Spirit of God is going to come upon her, conceive this son, this child within her. Mary responds, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And God's special mom and grandmom is the woman who comes to God and says to God, as a mother, as a grandmother, as a woman, God, whatever you have for me, whatever you want for me, I don't care what the world thinks. God, what you want, make it happen in my life, and I'm open to you for that. And again, when I'm talking here, I'm not just talking about biological moms, I'm talking about spiritual moms, because some of you, your kids are grown, you now have an opportunity to reach out to yet another generation spiritually and say, Lord, here I am. My kids are grown, and they're not all around here, but I am here. How can I help them where they're at? What can I do here? I'm here. How can I make an impact on young women here? Because I know back in about 2000, mid-2000s, about 2008, I guess it was, Patty got involved in a ministry called Morningstar in Soderton, Pennsylvania. It was a ministry to young women who, in a very Bible-belt area. When a young girl became pregnant out of wedlock, many parents would just shun the child, shun the girl, and say, I don't want anything to do with you. And they just send her off to this home. And they'd be alone. And they had questions about life. And does anyone know? Does anyone care? Does God know? Does God care? And Patty opened herself up to being trained. And she would take hours each week. And she would go to Morningstar. And she would sit down with girls who felt unloved, who felt undirected, who were looking for an answer, a course, a direction of life. What do I do? How do I handle this? And Patty and other women would take time out of their lives and volunteer and sit down and speak into these girls' lives. And they'd have a banquet. You could hear girls who'd come and say how maybe their actual mom wasn't there, but a spiritual mom was there for them and gave them hope, gave them direction, gave them an answer. It came about because Pat said, you know, here, this is what I want to do, God. How can I help you? What can I do? Second thing I would say that is important for being a special mom is special mom, God's special mom, develops godly support. Godly support. Mary gets this message, and as we read in this passage this morning, about this same time, she had a relative named Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, who was up in years, beyond childbearing age, but God would bless her to give her a son, whom we come to know as John the Baptist. When Mary hears this news, what's she going to say? What's she going to do? She needed some support. And so she went off. And for about the next 6 months of her life, she found a support. And she went. And she got hope and help in that end by Elizabeth. And together they spent this time and shared life together. Elizabeth talking about, I don't know, this is happening. I'm up in years. And Mary said, I'm so young in years. And I'm not married. And together, they had a place of mutual support. And I think that's so important. That, and this is true of men as well. And the worst part is men are less likely to do it than women. But I think the thing that we need to do is we need to encourage one another. And moms, grandmoms, you need to encourage young and each other to find those times to get together, encourage one another, to support one another. And the challenge is, it's not easy being a Christian mom today. And all the responsibilities that go with being a Christian mom. And now there's a little bit of a side note and a sidebar. Because Mary had Elizabeth, but she also had a husband named Joseph. going to speak to the guys for about a minute. Because guys, if you look at the example of Joseph, God comes to Mary and then he comes to Joseph. And Joseph just wants to go, I don't think I'm going to deal with this. And God comes to Joseph and, Joseph, you need to take this woman, you need to love her, you need to care for her. And in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, it says, after God spoke to Joseph in a dream, Joseph got up and he did what the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary as his wife and he lovingly cherished Mary. And we know they're together for at least 12 years following the birth of Jesus. And what we see from his very conduct before and how he thought he would quietly divorce her and how he responded to and how he led Mary, Joseph was a very loving and supportive wife. This past week, I went and got my wife some flowers, some sunflowers, because I know she likes them. Some of you responded how they're your favorite flower. Someone had to say, what did you do? I didn't do anything. What did you want? I just wanted to tell my wife I loved her and I supported her. But you know, today, guys, you can give your wife candy, flowers, you can give her a card. But you know what she really wants from you? She wants you to be praying for her. She wants you to be encouraging her. She wants you to be supporting her verbally, visibly, personally, timely with her. Spending that time to be there for a place, a person of support. There's a story, it's one of Billy Graham's favorite stories that I'll share with you. How there was a husband, he wasn't very attentive to his wife. And he came to realize that, and so one day he realized he had to stop and he had to change. He had to do something about that. So on the way home from work, he stopped, he got a box of candy, he got some flowers. And he showed up at the front door and he rang the doorbell. And as he rang the doorbell, his wife opened the doorbell. And he's standing there with a box of candy, flowers, and he's singing, I love you truly, truly dear, I do. And with that, she begins to break down and the tears are just coming out of her like in bucket loads. And he goes, what's the matter? Oh, she goes, it's been a terrible day. She said the plumbing leaked, the kids were terrible, the place is a mess. And now, you come home drunk. We don't have to be drunk to do this, guys. We really don't. Special mom's open to serve the Lord. A special mom will develop and have a support system of other women, Christian women who will be beside her, and a Christian husband who's praying for her, praying together with her, encouraging her. Guys, I challenge us to meet that, be the greatest meter of the needs of our wives right now from this day forward today. And here's the last thing. God's special mom has a godly impact on her family. It says in the Bible that Jesus was the light. It says that his mother kept, you notice under section 3 there, his mother, when she was taught all these things by the Spirit of God, the angel of God, she kept all these things in her heart. And it says, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with people. Now, Jesus would go to the temple and Jesus studied there, but we clearly understand that it was the moms who would have great impact on a child's life, and a family's world in that time. They would teach, they would educate. And so surely Mary was having an impact on her son, Jesus, who's God, yes, but a human son. And she would teach him and train him. And the Apostle Paul, when he's writing to a young pastor coming up in the faith named Timothy, he writes to Timothy these words, I recall your sincere faith, your faith that first lived in your grandmother Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I'm convinced is in you. A faith that began with grandma was inherited by mom and transferred over to a son who would be a pastor. There's a biblical, two examples of the impact that a mom and a grandmom can have on a child. But you today, you may be a young mom, and it may be your grandkid that ends up being a pastor or a missionary or makes a great impact in people's lives for the Lord, and you don't even realize it. I'm sure they didn't when they were doing and living the life they were living. There were four pastors that got together, and they were talking about the merits of different Bible translations. One guy said, I absolutely love the King James Version. I love its beauty, and yet its simplicity. The next guy said, I like the New International Version because of its modern language. Third guy said, well, I like a translation a lot of people know about. It's called the New American Standard Bible. It's very literal, taking the actual Greek of the Old Testament, the Hebrew of the Old Testament, the Greek of the New Testament, and just translating it over. So literal. I love that. The fourth guy was very quiet. And so finally, after some urging, they said, what is your favorite translation? He finally said, my favorite translation of the Bible is my mother's translation. I said, excuse me? Your mother translated the Bible? And he said these words, my mother translated the Bible into her everyday life. It's been the most convincing translation I've ever seen. You see, a godly mother translates the scriptures of the Bible into their lives. And the best thing that we can do as parents, and particularly moms for our children, our grandchildren, is to personally have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ and then walk in that relationship in a visible way that our kids and our grandkids see that life of Jesus. I'm looking at that clock. I'm killing myself to get shorter. I'm cutting as I go. It's terrible. But I want to do this. Godly mom is a mom who serves the Lord, who has developed a support system to make it through the challenges, who impacts their children by having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that evidences itself, how they live, how they speak. I personally believe that I'm the pastor of the family, but it's my wife that's had the greatest impact on our kids and our grandkids. I think that's the impact you moms and grandmoms can have on your family, being a godly grandma, mom today. There was a Sunday school program. Mom's voice in the front row, her little boy is up front. Comes time for his line. And as he stands there, he grows blank. But Mom was thinking of the possibility. She sits right here. And with that, he looks at her and she just smiles. And he just looks. She goes again. He doesn't get it. So finally, she goes, I am the light of the world. But now he stands up and goes, my mother is the light of the world. In a very, very dark world, moms, you're the light of the world. You see, Jesus in the scripture said, I am the light of the world. And anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that very same Jesus calls us to be his light bearers in a very dark world. But he says, you are the light of the world, and a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Today, moms and dads, particularly moms and grandmoms, in a very dark world, you are the light of the world. And this world is looking for and needs some very special godly moms. I want to pray for you about that today. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for being in this place with us. I thank you for the example of Mary, women like Elizabeth, like Timothy's mom, Eunice's grandma, Lois, others who are an example for us. We come here to honor the light, Jesus Christ, today, but also to remember and give thanks to you for the mother who raised our Savior Jesus and who has now spoken into the lives, I pray through your word today, of all the moms and grandmoms that are here. I thank you for them. I pray this be a wonderful, joyous day for them, that you will bless them, and God, that you will take this word that we've shared and that you'll bring it to life inside them, to mold the future of not just our church, our families, our very nation, and the world itself. And so I